preach until about 5 or 10 till.
Beg somebody to pray again, because we're too impatient to wait for this.
Okay. Well, I've only brought one thing, so I don't know how much time I might need. Yeah, we'll go with it. Last week, let me pray. Father in heaven, we want your leading, your direction. I do not want this to be the mere words of a mere man, but rather something that you would use to speak to our hearts and to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I suggested that an individual who's trying to improve their patience, that what they do is set a determined period of time, and that can be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour to several hours. It maybe to be a whole morning, afternoon, whatever, and during which time extra effort was going to be made. Now, you're going to pray and ask God to help you. You're going to be in constant prayer, meaning it's going to be on your mind so that you're frequently asking for his help in doing this. So when I say set a time period and do all you can to be patient in it, we're not just talking about self-effort. But if we don't care enough to improve our patience, to put forth an effort, do you really think God's going to just drop patience down out of the sky for you? And so set a time, exert patience, be praying. Another thing that we can do that's of a practical nature is to focus on the problem. And by that I mean don't try to avoid a problem, whether it's a person or a situation. There's a way in which it makes sense that if you see a problem coming, and you know it's going to give you a real difficulty, that you're going to avoid it. And there's times where that may be the thing to do. However, there are many times when a situation's coming, a person's coming, you can't avoid it. It just happens, and there you are with it. And so rather than try to get away from it, focus on it. Now, why in the world would a person do that? Why wouldn't I do everything I can to get away from it, to stop it? Well, let me progress. Romans chapter 5, if you'd like to turn in your Bible, Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. All right, let's just stop there. We're justified by faith, and we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're justified. That's the salvation part. He goes on and he tells us in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We have access by faith into grace. The grace of salvation? Yes, certainly. He says we're justified. But you know, we also by faith have access to grace for other things. There's more in the Christian life than just being saved. There's the daily living. And we have, according to verse 2, access by faith into that grace. And it's the grace wherein we stand. So I don't think it's referring just to grace for salvation.
That's right.
All right, you have the grace of salvation, but now by faith you have access to this grace that you stand in for salvation. And so rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now look at verse 3. And not only so, not only about getting saved, verse 1, not only about getting grace for whatever's needed, verse 2, not only so, but we, maybe I ought to get a different version. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Hey, last time you faced a real big problem that you could call, I don't mean an inconvenience, I mean a problem that you could, you know, you could say, yeah, this was a tribulation. I don't know about you, but I don't remember when I gloried in it. Usually what I prayed for was an escape from it.
Amen.
Lord, deliver me. Take this thing away. And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray that, but I am saying what Paul says here, that we should glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, here's the situation. This is just a fact of life. Troubles are going to come. Tribulations are going to be there. We're not going to get rid of them simply by saying, well, I'm not going to glory in them. But if you begin to get a little bit of gratitude, thankfulness for the trouble, it's going to change our attitude. I love my illustration. You go out to get in the car and the driver's front tire's flat. And if you're like me, you didn't leave with enough time to change a flat tire. So you walk around to the trunk to get it out. And one of two things could happen in my illustration. You find the passenger side back when it's flat also. How many spares do you have in your car? just one. Or maybe that's not flat, but you do like happened to me. You remember Sam, Tim, out on 86, wintertime, cold, bitter cold, AAA. No, it wasn't AAA. It was another off-brand one that I called. And they said, well, it could be 2 hours till we get somebody out there. I said, 2 hours? Ma'am, I don't know where you are, but here it's 15 degrees and windy. And I don't have enough gas to last 2 hours. Well, I'll see what I can do. That didn't satisfy me. So I did what any sane person would do. You call your pastor. That's just what he probably got in, got his shoes off, you know, sat down in his comfortable chair and a cup of coffee. And I thank God for cell phones. I called. And he did what any father would do. He said, I'll send the boys down.
Yep, that sounds like him.
I was never so glad to see Tim and Sam. I've always liked them, but that night I could say I loved them. I never jacked that car up. I didn't know where the jack went on. I knew where the jack was. And we got the spare tire out, one of them little donuts. You know how they tell you to check your spare tire every 6 months, be sure it's inflated? You know why I said that, don't you? They put it on and you could see it was low. I said, well, fellas, I'll just head toward Olean. Hopefully I can get there. I didn't even get it. They were going to follow us, okay? We didn't even get a mile down the road. And the man, so we pulled it over and they put my original tire in the back of their car, drove Mrs. Hain and I home, and in the morning I got my tire fixed and used my truck, went out, and I think the fellows met me again, one of them at least, met me and put it back on. Now, isn't that's right nice, let me tell you. They got to do something to help this old man, poor guy. And so, there's some benefits to being old. And so, listen, when I got that flat tire, I was not glorying. I do not recall at any one point saying, thank you, Jesus, for the flat tire. I should have. I should have. And it makes me ashamed that I didn't. But you see, We've got to determine that sort of thing ahead, because in the emotions of the tribulation, emotions is what usually rules.
Yeah.
So, and there's nothing wrong with emotions. It's just that we are expected to control the emotions. And so here I have this negative emotion. It's there. I don't have to feel guilty because it's there. But I do feel guilty that I didn't say, Lord, I don't know what you have in mind with this flat tire. And I don't know what he had in mind. But I sure know I came out of it with a great respect for Sam and Tim and the help that they were that night. You know, they'd have much rather been home and warm too. But they were very willing, okay? I didn't see any hesitation. I said, well, I think let me lay down there and look. And whichever one of them said, no, I'll lay down and look where the jack goes. And I didn't want to offend him, so I let him. Tribulation worketh patience. There's no need for patience if all goes our way. If everything goes smooth and the way we'd like, what do we need patience for? Think about it. You only need patience when something doesn't go right. It seems like some of us need a lot more patience. So many things don't go right. Is it really that much more goes wrong for me or some other people than yet others? Probably not. It's just that it may be felt more. Do we want to avoid tribulation? Now, why did Paul say that? Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Did he need that instruction? Apparently. See it in verse 3? And not only so, but what's the next word? We. That means Paul and whoever else was on his team at the time. We glory in tribulations. He was going through, and we know a lot of the troubles that Paul had at one time or another, but he knew that his patience would be improved if he had the right attitude toward the tribulation. Do I hear somebody thinking, well, I just can't do that? Well, that's just the point. Do we want to? Do we want to glory in tribute? It would be a huge victory if the next time some situation came along and we recognized it, you know, those couple of seconds in which God lets us know we need to be responding correctly.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be something if in those couple of seconds we'd say, thank you, Lord. I don't know what or why, but thank you. Wouldn't that be awesome to have that kind of an experience? And any of you that have, just thank God that in that area of your life, at least that area of your life, you have progressed to that point. But if we don't want to, then we'll never increase our capacity for patience, because it will not come simply by wanting it, wishing for it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man would follow me, he must take up his cross and deny himself. You see, self would rather react in a very ordinary way. You see, that's my comfort zone. That's what I can do without any effort. But that's not denying self. And about now, some may be going into a defense mode. Well, I'm not always impatient. Well, I'm not as impatient as some people. You should have seen my mom. If you'd have known my dad, you'd realize that. Well, I'm better than I used to be. And so on a scale of 1 to 10, the person's now at a 2. One writer put it this way. It was a C.S. Lewis. Everyone feels benevolent if nothing happens to be annoying him at the moment.
Yeah.
Knowing that you can't escape a person or a situation, then we should focus on being patient with the conditions. First thing I'd say is be prepared. If you know it's coming, now we don't always know it's coming, but if you know it's coming, then be prepared. And then be realistic. Don't let your expectations, you know, set you up for defeat. And what I mean by be realistic, expect to face this thing and thank God for it and handle it in a way that you know you're able to do. And I don't mean blowing up, I mean properly handling it. And then deal with each item or aspect. So many times, I don't know about you, but again, I can get overwhelmed with something. Where if I'll break it down into different parts and just focus on one part of it properly, then that can help me to handle the next part. And doing that patiently will enable greater success. And when a person gets overwhelmed, they get frustrated. And what happens when we get frustrated? We give up. And that's when everything falls apart. Now there's more to be said on this subject of patience and how to increase it. And I have a couple others yet that we'll do in some coming nights. But I have two individuals I'd like to quote here. One is missionary Hudson Taylor. He said there are three indispensable requirements for a missionary. And I'd add for anything, and now applying it to patience. He said there are three indispensable requirements. Patience, patience, patience. What then are we to do about our problem? We must learn to live with them until such time as God delivers us from them. We must pray for grace to endure them without murmuring. I don't know about you. I can endure a lot. But when A.W. Tozer said, without murmuring, now he just quit preaching and went to meddling. Problems patiently endured will work for our spiritual development. We pray, Lord, I want to grow. Okay? And Peter says about growing in grace and knowledge. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to grow. Oh, I want to grow as a Christian. Well, here's one of the ways growth comes. Patiently enduring things that come our way. That's one of the means that God uses to develop our faith. It's these kind of experiences that help us to grow. One of the things that's very beneficial for your children is that when they experience problems and troubles, even when they experience wrongdoing toward them, don't try and get them out of everything. Don't try to raise every valley and lower every mountain and make everything smooth for them. Help them to learn that that's life. You have to, You have this, children who grow up where the parents try to make everything the way would make their kid happy or everything would be okay. Those children, when they grow up, they don't know how to handle normal life. Because mama and daddy's not there to talk to their boss. I'm not saying there aren't times that a parent shouldn't go in and intercede for their child, for example, at school. But it might just be good to help them to learn how to live with some of those things that they have to deal with. Because that's life. Learning to be patient is a decision we must consciously make. We decide to wait instead of becoming tense and angry and overreacting to a situation. We must make the decision. God will give the grace. Isn't there what we started with? Romans 5:3. The grace wherein we stand. Glory in tribulation. He'll give the grace. But we've got to desire it. But you see, desiring it means admitting that we need it. Oh, well, yeah, I know everybody. No, not everybody, you. That's a royal cop-out. Whenever you're talking to somebody about any subject, and it's an area that they have a weakness in and they need to deal with, and when they say, well, yeah, but everybody, they just made, number one, excuse. Rather than to say, I know, I shouldn't have done that. You see, when we stand before God on Judgment Day, He isn't going to judge everybody when He looks at Roger Hain. He's going to judge Roger Hain. And He isn't going to take, He isn't going to take that. You know, for me to say, yeah, but God, everybody. It won't work with God. Father in heaven, thank you. Oh, thank you for your word. Help us.